And I think even on health, you know what I mean? I've seen some entities rolling out their big AI programs where they have, you know, geofencing around a lot of farms. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just going back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago with just feed deliveries, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, they have all the, you know, I could never imagine having a large co-op with all the feed deliveries and trying to keep track of health. Well, all this somehow gets integrated in where you said, hey, like, we can't split that load with that site. That's a PD site or a Seneca site, or, you know, that's a, you know, something site, you know what I mean? So like, stay off there. And even your field staff, you know, just, hey, punching where you're going next, punching your daily route, you know, like, oh, hey, no, like, that site's, you know, on hold for some reason, or hey, that, don't go there, we need to go here first. You know what I mean? It really just lets the people and the professionals, you know, better use their time looking at the pigs that need to be seen, and then not going to sites that, you know, you don't need to go to because, you know, there's some type of health challenge, you know what I mean? So, or if that's where you're going to go, you're done for the day. So that, I think that stuff's really helping out.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Safeguard your feed from pathogens with VVC Premix. VVC Premix from DSM Firmenich is made up of ultra-pure benzoic acid and nature-identical flavorings to protect your feed and improve performance. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Your Pork Checkoff is all in on improving U.S. swine health. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org/strategy.
Good day. I'm Phil Ward, host of today's podcast. Today we have Aaron Juergens joining us. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, definitely. A nice warm day out here in Iowa, so it's nice to duck in and get some air conditioning and do a little chit-chat here. So.
Sounds great. A little bit about Aaron. He brings a lifetime of agricultural passion and deep industry leadership to today's discussion. As the owner of Juergens Incorporated and past president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association, Aaron has been dedicated to the industry since starting his career in 2001. An Iowa master pork producer, he is highly focused on the intersection of farm management and technology, specifically exploring how AI and strict biosecurity can protect the next generation of pork producers. So I'm excited for today. It's going to be a great discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, let's jump right into it. You know, today we'll be focusing on our conversation on your thoughts on a variety of topics, but let's talk a little bit about your year as the Iowa Pork president. So how did leading through that and through some challenging industry times, just give us some perspective on that?
Yeah. So 2025, I mean, much glad to be the president during 2025 than it was the COVID year or 23 or 24, when the industry economics were quite challenging at the time. It was good to see, you know, the, you know, people come together, and, you know, there was a lot of opportunity, you know, in 2025. And it was nice to see, you know, barns getting filled back up, and then, you know, just the way the markets were, and it would just seem like there was a lot more positive conversation. And I mean, even, you know, everything I do, it makes it a lot easier when there's a lot more, you know, glimmer of hope in the future to get things done. So the conversations are a lot better. Just even going to any, all the industry projects or, you know, trade shows and stuff like that, it was nice to be able to see people do business and talk in a positive fashion. So it was a wonderful year. So we did get a lot done. So.
Yeah, for sure. Coming off, especially, yeah, you're like, as you mentioned, those rough financial years, and then finally having a year that was going to be in the black, I'm sure was definitely added a sense of, we were out of gloom and doom for a while and into like, okay, we can make it happen, right? So very cool. So tell us a little bit about what you do, and, you know, I understand you manage some space. So talk to us about that, and just where you see, you know, opportunities in health and biosecurity right now, since that's been a rough go of it with PRRS, you know.
Yeah, the PRRS thing is, so a little bit about my background. You know, I live in West Central Iowa, and I own and manage, you know, quite a few spaces throughout Iowa. And I work with a lot of other people, either taking care of their farms or doing some type of labor, whether it's loading, washing, management, you know, vaccine maintenance. I kind of touch a little bit of all. And I work with a lot of different integrators and private owners on, you know, taking care of their facilities or their hogs. And it's, I kind of get a good broad perspective of what's going on and who's doing what, and this kind of, you know, what the heartbeat of the industry is doing, since I work with a wide range of people. I feel like I have a little bit of, advantage to see kind of what everybody's doing or what products people are trying or what health strategies, not that anybody consults with me or anything, but just, it's always fun and interesting to see how things go, throughout the industry, what people are trying, how things work and how different flows are going, or even just new barns that are being built or just any retrofitting. It's fun to see, when you get to work with that many different people and different farms, how things are going and, what new things are out there. So it's a lot in Iowa, all the barns are full and it's plenty of work out there. So it's good. It's good to be a hog barn owner and good to be in the pig business. So
for sure. So along with that, talk to us about some of those health challenges you've been seeing and just maybe some commonalities amongst different, you were mentioning different pigs, different flows, different ownership there. Is there anything different about recent times versus the past?
Yeah, I think as we've seen space get tight, I would just had lunch with somebody. We were just talking about, 2 years ago, there was maybe some of the integrators would have an extra week or two in there, or it could be able to keep the pigs a little bit longer. But now that, as flows tighten up and, the herds just, really kind of getting pushed a little bit, like the things that people were doing 2 years ago, now it's like you're kind of, the system's pushed, you can't let it sit for very long. It changes everything from, maintenance to manure management. And that's what we were just talking about. Like, hey, like last year, I was down for 2 weeks. Well, that was, that helped me on my pit situation. And, now it's just kind of like, hey, we really got to be on it and make sure that we're doing everything within our means to, conserve water and do pit management and make sure that we do have things ready for the fall already. It's already almost July 1st here. So it's just making sure all that stuff gets managed just a little bit differently, especially with repairs. You get used to having a week to do things, and then all of a sudden you're down to your 3 or 4 days, and you really got to be prepared. Or even things like washing, like, well, I'm emptying out on Tuesday, but now it's like you might not get pigs for a week, maybe 2 years ago. Now it's like empty on Tuesday, getting pigs back in, Friday morning. Well, that's a whole different management strategy. You got to have the right team in place. Make sure the washers get there, your maintenance is getting there. That's stuff that all needs to be done. So like the, being, having the barn sit for 1 or 2 weeks, and then just taking your time, that takes a whole different management strategy. And that's where a lot of my services come in fact, because I can come in with a crew and get things done and push things along to make sure you're meeting deadlines and contractual obligations. So, but that's some of the things that have changed on the contract grower end. It's the same thing with the growers too. The integrators, they got to make sure that, still letting that last group sit for a little bit, especially in the summertime when you're not burning heat. You can, if you sit an extra week and let that bottom end grow a little bit, if you got the space, it's not the best space optimization, but you got it rented, just want to let the pigs grow. And so they're going to have to push things along a little bit. It seems like we're doing a lot more, dumping in and running, So that seems to be, that's what seems to be going on the last couple of weeks, especially on a holiday week when there's no, Friday, Saturday activity. It's, you push hard in the week and it's going to be a busy week. And then, same thing too, we'll be, rushing through the weekend and a lot of pigs coming in Monday, Tuesday already. So just, when it's good to have barns full, I guess they do no good sitting empty. So, but it's, got to really be tight on the ball. And then, the people you're working with and your partners, you got to make sure that you're making sure all of your people are on board to make sure things are getting done. So,
yeah. And then with this heat, that should pump the brakes on some things even further in terms of growth, right? With what we're experiencing. So that'll be, we already don't have the luxury, then we really aren't going to have the luxury to keep, the weight on there for a period of time here. But yeah, interesting.
I see enough pigs. I got some, everybody's like, how's the health? I'm like, yeah, we got some good pigs and we got some better pigs and we got some pigs that we need some improvement on, So all pigs, you treat them all the same, So just still do the daily, your daily practices on whether they're super sick or super healthy, and you follow your procedures and, everything always ends up all right. But, there's a lot of good healthy pigs out there right now too, So it's, you're gonna have some flows with some purrs, and then, this time of year, the PD's quieted it up, It's not moving around. But it's still getting things clean and making sure everything needs to be. And it's great this time of year too. I know there's, sometimes there's a little Seneca out there in the past, getting the barns cleaned up and doing super good inspections. And I even had a grower have, don't know where it came from, but had some worms pop up in a facility, But just a, you know, if you're not used to seeing it, you know what I mean, it's a whole different cleanup strategy. You know what I mean, the, you know, different between treating a worm and then a bacteria, you know, just a whole different strategy when you're cleaning, you know what I mean? It just, you know, just certain disinfect, you know, disinfects necessarily maybe won't kill the larva, the eggs, you know what I mean? So you got to do a whole completely different cleanup strategy and shut down. And then, you know, just, it's, it was this whole different procedure where, you know, that didn't even really have an SOP for, you know, a worm outbreak and don't know where it came from. Everything that was tight, secure, nice barn, just goofy things do happen. And, you know, just, you know, just that's a whole different management strategy. You know what I mean? So that was a kind of see how those things work out. And I also, was involved in the, Pseudor IBs cleanup too. So that was a whole, that was a whole different strategy too. So it was, I was glad they called me on it and I was glad to be part of it. It was just, whole different, you know, there's no, there was an SOP for it, but it was just, you know, making sure the way that was done was, a little bit different too, you know what I mean? So the cleanup strategy and, you know, working with, you know, the state folks and making sure everything was the way it needed to be. And it was, quite the experience to, be a part of that. It was kind of, you know, wasn't glad to be part of it, but it was just, it was nice that we were the ones chosen to do the major cleanup on it. It was, turned out successful. So
just on that, I'm sure that's kind of interesting to the listeners, just because not everyone gets to be a part of that. Not that you would really want to be, but that opportunity. So what's like, what would you say is one of your biggest learnings from that process just in general?
And the thing is, it's like, you know, once again, you know what I mean? Like people call me and I'm always ready. You know what I mean? Like when I got the call to do it, you know what I mean? I was ready, you know, I had the equipment, you know what I mean? Like it's a total procedure too. You know, everything we brought there was left there. You know what I mean? We didn't bring anything home. I mean, everything was left and incinerated and just, you know, having the equipment, the people, the know-how, how to get it done. And just knowing from the start, you know, what clean is and just completely removing all organic material. And it was a site that was cleaning. It just took time. You know what I mean? So it's like, everything's not 100% power wash proof. So it's like, you just got to be careful with some parts of the barn. You got to hand clean it and it takes time. There's lots of nooks and crannies and just got to be patient. And, you know, there was just a lot of hours spent there cleaning it up. And I got some photos and it was just like before and after. It didn't look dirty, but like once you start getting your microfilm off and start scrubbing a little bit more and just maybe controllers, fans, motors, outlets, you know what I mean? You can't power wash like an outlet per se, you know, that needs to be shut off, cleaned, wiped down, stuff like that. You know, it's a careful process, you know what I mean? So, but we got her clean. She looks brand new, you know what I mean? But it was glad that we got her done. It took a little bit of time, you know, like this wasn't just a rinse down and we just got done cleaning some sites had some Seneca, just couldn't get them out of there. And you know, we did a really good job cleaning them up. You know what I mean? Flashlight, white glove situation. And we just got sent the same crew there. And it was like, all right, you guys know what to do. Just said, whatever you guys did there, just take that times 10. And then I think we'll be all right. And then they Swiffered clean and, you know, use the right disinfectants on it. And it was good to go. So.
Interesting. So you're managing a lot of different types of operations within these sites, including do some pig care and everything as well, right? Like, so talk to us, you know, one of your passion areas and parts of what I think we should talk about today is how you're structuring that from a technology standpoint and maybe even the advent of AI and how that's potentially working into things. You know, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. On the AI, I got a lot of people and I'm, you know, I love technology, you know what I mean? So it's fun. And, you know, like anything, it's like, I wish I had more time to work with it. I do talk to a lot of people. This person I had lunch with today, he was talking about, you know, it's working with these AI models, you can make apps easier than you have before. You know what I mean? So I was with my friend this weekend. He went to Iowa State for computer science. He understood making apps and writing programs and he went to school for that, you know? Mm-hmm. So like he knows how to do that. But my friend didn't go to school for this. And he was just telling me how he was making an app and he just thought it was great. He has, you know, a couple staff members. They enter stuff into this app. Just the simple stuff. This is not making stuff up. They enter the simple things in, water, feed intake, temperature. And he was just telling me like it's for him, it's wonderful. You know what I mean? Cause it gives him heads up like, hey, more water usage than this other barn. Or, you know, like he has the simple things we already, like you said, there's so many data points that we already know, like how old the pigs are. That's a data point. Temperature, set point. You know what I mean? Like, you know, historical stuff that helps you out, like water usage by type. You know what I mean? Like whether it's a nipple bar, cup water, you know, like this thing's, you know, all the data you shove into this thing, it just makes it better every single day. And he's like, yeah, I had a slight water leak. And he's like, I told the guy, I was like, I know there's a water leak there. They're using more water. And he found it was a cracked pipe on the back. And he is able to track down because he was looking for it. He's like, there's no way we would have found that without noticing. It was just, it's like, there's no way there's, you know, it was just, it helped them tremendously. You know, what once again, helped them water volume, you know, manure, you know, in Iowa, you know, everybody's talking about water quality and nitrate runoff. Well, if you can use less water and less manure, like that helped that out. You know what I mean? Those are all further down the stream, you know, benefits, but he was able to get things fixed, you know, helped them out. You know what I mean? The pigs had good pressure. You know, you want to make sure that you're not leaking anywhere to provide proper pressure, all the nipples. And, you know, everything was, you know, that helped them out right there. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's helping you get one step ahead. You know what I mean? Would everything have been fine 3 years ago in the farm? Yeah, it would have been fine. But at the same time, this helped them get ahead, you know, sooner. You know what I mean? Same thing with predictive feed ordering. Like, hey, you know, it really helps all that stuff out. Or like, I mean, like 5 years ago, I couldn't write a feed predictive program and a modeling water suggestion program and just, you know, all these things. Like he said, I mean, he made this, you know, at home on a Sunday, just, you know, typing in certain things into, you know, certain AI model. And I have another friend doing the same thing and just, you know, he got the same thing too. Just it was able to get all the data points, maintenance stuff, you know, just some of these things that used to cost, you know, have to go out and spend a lot of money on. They can, you know, like you talk about different designs of barns, you know what I mean? Just like you go from your half slats to your tunnel barns, to your power natural, to your regular ventilated barn, to some of the European, you know, fan on the roof barn. You know what I mean? Everyone's different, but like to take all those data points from all those different things and customize it. I mean, you would have had to have a real expensive employee 5 to 10 years ago to put all these things together. Now, when you're on a Sunday afternoon, when you're just typing stuff in the thing and coming up with all these things and really providing help, you know what I mean? So just really providing things that really help out your staff, knowing where to spend their time and just making, you know, managing all these things. Like I said, every barn has a water meter, you know, your bin, you know, even if you just check it, you know, even if you're guessing the same every day, it's helping you out. And you can add, you know, spend time things on your motors. There's so many things you can do and it's fun. You know what I mean? It's good to see, like you said, but how can we use all these data points to make, you know, the pigs better, the barns better, and then, you know, just to make it easier for staff, you know what I mean? So like all those things need to come through. So, and yeah. I haven't really seen nothing to where, you know, we can get all that. And I think even on health, you know what I mean? I've seen some managers rolling out their big AI programs where they have, you know, geofencing around a lot of farms. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just going back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago with just feed deliveries, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know what I mean? Like to have all the, you know, I could never imagine having a large co-op with all the feed deliveries and trying to keep track of health. Well, all this somehow gets integrated in where you said, hey, like we can't split that load with that site. That's a PD site or a Seneca site, or, you know, that's a, you know, something site, you know what I mean? So like stay off there. And even your field staff, you know, just, hey, punching where you're going next, punching your daily route, you know, like, oh, hey, no, like that site's, you know, on hold for some reason, or hey, that don't go there. We need to go here first. You know what I mean? It really just lets the people and the professionals, you know, better use their time looking at the pigs that need to be seen and then not going to sites that, you know, you don't need to go to because, you know, there's some type of health challenge. You know what I mean? So, or if that's where you're going to go, you're done for the day. So that, I think that stuff's really helping out.
Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions is a locally focused global animal nutrition company that offers a proven range of customized nutrition, health, and business solutions you can trust to build more profitable systems with confidence and peace of mind. Our research-backed and data-driven approach is our foundation. Learning your goals and business challenges is the top priority for our people.
Yeah, it's so cool, you know, just to kind of see how what I hear you saying and what I can experience even myself is that things that maybe were out of touch or not well understood, you know, even your example of your one friend that, you know, that did have some understanding of the technology side and then the one that didn't, and just that's bringing it much closer down to the what I would call the, you know, people like me that are just, you know, don't have that understanding. But I think that really changes the way that some of this is able to be utilized, because instead of needing a specialized program, you know, everyone has, even Google, right? You know, Google, I was reading an article the other day, you know, we used to type something into the Google search bar and it was like a Google search. Well, now it's no longer that. It's using AI. You know, you can just use regular Google as it, realizing there's, you know, there's benefits of different types of models and programs to use. But it really has brought it down to anyone that really, now careful to use some of the information, yeah. Really, that's where we use our pigmanship and use our on the farm understanding to really put those things to test. But it's really changing, you know, the way that people can actually get things accomplished by even bringing different ideas to the table. Maybe you're troubleshooting something. It's like, hey, what things should I be thinking about? I know, yeah. I've done that before, you know, what, here's my issue. This is what we've done. You know, what other possibilities could there be? And it can be a game changer for improving efficiencies. I think that's another thing you brought up around routing. And I think the thing for me is that in any, you know, number of, if you're managing any number of sites or any, you know, have multiple team members, it's really probably, and this is what even we're trying to figure out, how do we put the framework around that, all of these data points and bringing it together and then really having a common system, right, that people are able to utilize, that is that source of truth. And I don't think that's very far away, right? It's already here in many cases for doing that.
Yeah, you talk about Google. If you type in pig with spots in Google, it's going to give you a lot of stuff. But like if you take a pig with some lesions and poke it into AI, it's going to tell you what's going on. I mean, not that, you know, not that you want to be self-veterinarian, but like, hey, at least when an employee says, hey, I got a pig with some spots, like,
yeah,
that doesn't, you know, if you would have typed that into Google 5 years ago, you would have got some cartoons. Now, just like, you know, you take your AI program, take that picture, send it to it. Not saying it's going to give you a script to use, but like, hey,
yeah,
you better, you know, this is some type of thing you need to take care of. You know what I mean? So like that's how far it's come. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just kind of it's great. You know what I mean? I said I would have loved to have this 15 years ago, but like I said, now it's just like, hey, well, how do you do this? Or even like anything you can ask it. It just at least it can eliminate some things to where you can ask questions that are going to get answers better. You know what I mean? So yeah. That's what's been really handy. So
you have a lot of people that work with you to do the work that you guys are doing. Do you see this being a potential for some reduction in labor in any way in your business, or how do you see it being utilized in ways that you've thought about?
I mean, the thing is, what I've learned is I actually had somebody go through that. Like somebody said, write down the 10 things that AI can help you do. And I did do that. And what I did learn is there's a lot of things I'm just currently not doing because I don't have time. Mm. Do I think I'm overstaffed? No. Do I think my staff could be more efficient? Yes. You know what I mean? I really like my staff. But the thing is, I don't need my staff doing menial things that can be done, you know, through a program. But at the end of the day, when I'm saying, hey, like, I want my staff to do more high value things. Yes. You know what I mean? Like I everybody wants to pay their staff more, which means you got to earn more, which means you got to be more efficient. Mm. So like, I like my staff a lot. I'm a small business. You know what I mean? I don't have a 50 person back office. We maybe have 5,
yeah,
or 4, you know what I mean? So, but if I can get those 4 to do more higher quality things, or if I can make my business to where we are more efficient and provide a better product for our customer, it's a way for us to grow. You know what I mean? So if, mm-hmm, we can do these things to be us more efficient or do more high value tasks, whether it's communicating more thoroughly and effectively with customers or changing the process on how we report things coming from the slats, you know, those are all things that can make us better. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm, that's what I'm trying to do is when I did my friend made me go through an AI thing, like, hey, give me the top 10 things you think AI can do for you. And I went through it and I realized like these tasks weren't that hard and I actually have people to do them. It was good. That's why it's good to be challenged. You know what I mean? Like I didn't say no. I said, yes, let me look at this. I wrote down in 10 things. And I literally the next week I took those 10 things that couldn't help me. And I just delegated them out to other people. I'm sure my staff was glad I did this, but it was just a lot of times looking at the whole organization, seeing how we could, you know, make everything a little bit more efficient, who could do a little bit more. And then there were some people that were doing the same thing that I could combine and just be a little bit more efficient. You know what I mean? So that's what I ended up seeing is like, AI is great. And then there's a lot of things we could do. But at the end of the day, I just made my people more efficient and then were able to do a little bit more and be a lot more, you know, providing a better product. So that's what I was pretty excited about. So
there's been a lot of sensors and things in the industry that have come out over the last, even let's just say 5 years, right? What have you seen, had any experience with that stuff, and are you utilizing that?
This new alarm technology, you know, there's multiple different companies that have very similar products. And I just remember I was talking to some of the people I've actually worked with that are retired, and we still talk about alarms and like 3 o'clock in the morning, driving out to have a low battery or a something that's not as serious. And then to the point where you get complacent and don't get a little lax your alarms. Now I'm just, you know, if I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I hear it's lightning out, like I can just pull up my app and just, hey, look, everybody's fine. You know what I mean? Or pull up your camera. Look, everything is fine. Like, okay, we're good till tomorrow. You know what I mean? Or those days where, you know, here in Iowa, you know what I mean, we might have some days where the wind chill is 20, 30, 40 below. Are those new pigs place, are they getting the heat? Are the, mm-hmm. you know, as the fans throwing off, you know, you can see the CFMs. Like, are we pulling the right of CFMs? You know what I mean? If you had on cycle ventilation, they're not frozen up. You know what I mean? Or you can look at the amperage on the heaters. Are they running? You know, like, you can look at your heater run times. You know, like, okay, room one's this room. You got some stuff you compare to. Man, I just think about 20 years ago, it was just like, you know, you didn't know until you got an alarm, which is usually, you know, by the time you got there, it was just something was really broke. You know what I mean? So like that creates a lot more efficiency also. You know what I mean? Having, you know, we have all these great things, but having everything tied together to an app, you know what I mean? Or just to where you can actually log on and see it. You know, there's lots of good technology out there. So, but it's just nice to see that you're saving your time, you know, or just a bad sensor or just, it's I look at I got all my sensors up on my screen. I can look at anything in two clicks, and right now it's hot out. So if I do get an alarm, I can look at comparables, I can pull up a controller, verify it, and then at least I can let staff know what's going on and look at the fans. You know, is the one fan go down? You mean I can look at the amperage. You mean like, hey, bring a motor with you and a belt and a sweat. You know what I mean? Like we know what we're doing, you know what I mean? So that's a lot more helpful than showing up with a you know what I mean, you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like name some things that could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. You know what I mean? So like, it could be there, you know? So that's especially when it gets to be extreme conditions where you want to keep your staff safe. You know, like you can see that the pigs are safe in the barns when it's, you know, when it's super hot or super cold, you know what I mean? There's just some days it's physical to get to everywhere. At least you can see mm-hmm. things are good. You know what I mean? So that's been definitely a game changer on, you know, remote technology where you can, you know, log in and, you know, A, see things with a camera, and B, see that the equipment is actually working and this corresponding sensors are saying it is. So that's very helpful, especially when you're driving to a site that's 20 miles away. So,
yeah, right. So, you know, maybe just even inside or outside of technology, but like, what do you think is not being talked about in the area of these grow finish barns that the listeners feel like, you know, if you had their ear to that, what would that be?
I really like my barns. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm very passionate about it. And I think having good sites still is the key driver. Good people, good sites. You can have all the bells and whistles. If you ain't got a good site, if you ain't got good people in there that care trained, and you know, you ain't, you know, at the end of the day, you still can't control the pigs, but like you can control your barn, you control your staff's training and you know, how well of an employee you put in there. You know what I mean? So like when we went through the COVID year, you know what I mean? And you know, there were some tricky times with, you know, barns getting shut down, you know, just this pig placement changing, and then going through some years with, some negative economics, you know, when people are changing around or your barn might sit empty just due to, you know, or just a contract ending, like at the end of the day, still having a good, well-maintained barn that you put time and effort into and care about is going to have full of pigs. You know what I mean? So like I just said, don't ever get your barn to a point where you're not replacing something or fixing something for whatever reason. Just always have it marketable. You know what I mean? So like when I drive by my sites, I want to make sure that they're clean, picked up, you know, everything's managed to the best of the ability, and you're keeping up with your maintenance, not doing delayed maintenance. I used to be able to take over managing some barns and not worry about walking in, but sometimes like I better take a look first, because it's like, I don't ever want to have a bad barn's, you know, maintenance reflect upon, you know, the things we're doing, you know, to have, you know, a negative thing with an integrator. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we can't handle it just because the something's good. You know, just delayed maintenance costs more money. But like I said, I've been fortunate enough to have always my barns full because I feel like I have a good maintenance program and we have good people, good staff, good training, and barns in good locations. And, you know, the style barn that, you know, anybody would love to put pigs in. And I think still when it comes down to the basics, you can have all the bells and whistles in the world, but unless you got a good site that's well maintained with reliable staff, it still ain't worth nothing. So I've seen good barns sit empty just because they can't find proper staff. And same thing too, the barn ain't no good if they can't have feed, air, and water. You know what I mean? So if none of that's working, you're not always going to put pigs in there. You know what I mean? So you just got to always be ahead of it, you know?
Yeah. What are the four things? Feed, water, air, and care, right? Those are the essentials. Yeah. No, I totally see what you're saying with that. And I think that care piece and just the, I think it's something to be said, right, about having the right facility, but then not having the right daily, weekly, monthly, you know, big picture. Okay, if we defer maintenance, if we're, you know, for instance, right, we let gates get loose, you know, oh, it's all bad from there, right? Because then it's extremely difficult to get that all, you know, back to where it could be. But mm-hmm. versus if we're, you know, tightening those between groups and staying ahead of getting things replaced. And it's just like any asset, right? Sometimes I always wonder, how do we get to where we are? Because it can come down to having the staff, right? It can come down to having the right people. But sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. You know, are we thinking of these as, you know, my opinion is these are no longer 20-year assets. These are much longer, you know, life assets. And we see that playing out in the industry today. But a lot of those assets that are in existence that have any value and worth still, right, are the ones that likely were taken care of, or that had to be leveled and rebuilt, right? Certainly the economics of building today have really heightened that awareness around that, right?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've shown up to site before and three light bulbs working and the caretaker's moving the light bulbs. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, we're loading pigs today. He's like, well, you got to move the light bulbs from this side to this side to make this one. I'm like, what? Oh, come on. You know what I mean? Just like, you know what I mean? Like, that's very, very extreme circumstance. We're just kind of like,
right,
man, just get some bulbs. You know what I mean? So just like, you know, well, the owner's going to drop some off. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there like, like, that's not the right thing to do. You know what I mean? So just simple thing to fix. You know, low economic situation. It was just whether somebody forgot or something like that, but like, it just, you know, the simple things, like light bulbs drop, just change them. You know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean? Like, we go back to the simple things. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like that hard, but like, you gotta have light bulbs there and you gotta do this. So like, having staff move light bulbs around so you can load pigs does not seem like a best use of time, or, you know, just you should be doing other things. You know what I mean? So right. Look at the pigs, don't worry about changing light bulbs. You know what I mean? But that's when you get to those farms sometimes, you're just kind of like, come on now. You know what I mean? So like, you wonder why things go wrong. You're just like, yeah,
for sure.
That's sometimes the simple things are in your most controllable things are the easiest way to make things work is just, you know, just keep pushing with the simple things and making them work. So
it's time for our famous three.
Broiler Savvy, the pioneering AI powered solution for broiler gut functionality and metabolic efficiency insights. Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions delivers trusted, data-driven nutrition and business support, helping you build more profitable, confident pork systems. KT Pacer, 50 years designing and building feed transportation equipment focused on quality, workmanship, and performance. Every Pig, regain control of your wean-to-finish operation. Catch problems early, save pig lives. Aurora Pharmaceutical, veterinary solutions for real-world animal care. Our swine herds are healthier and safer when we're working together. That's why Your Pork Checkoff is all in on improving U.S. swine health through the National Swine Health Strategy. Practical solutions for pigs and people that work on real farms like yours. Driven by producers like you. Together, we're laying the foundation for healthier herds and a more resilient future. Your Pork Checkoff is all in on swine health. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org/all-in.
Well, that was all really cool, really good stuff to talk about, and I think very, very relevant to what's happening in the industry today. So this isn't your first rodeo for being on the podcast. You know, what is your favorite swine-related book or resource that you follow closest?
Well, I mean, my resource, so it could be like a newsletter. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Yes, actually, they always ask me, but the National Pork Board and National Pork Producers Council put out wonderful newsletters, and One time I asked him, I said, man, you guys send those out pretty frequently. And they're like, yeah, Aaron. They're like, everybody's just like you. They're busy every day. So if we only send them out on Mondays, it gets pushed to the bottom of the thing and they don't see it. They're like, if we send a quick little one every single day, it's very helpful because that way we have fresh information from the people every day. So if you're not signed up for any, you know, whether it's your state organization or your national organization from National Pork Board, National Pork Bridge Councils, keep up the, you know, get up on, see what's going on. They got a lot of stuff going on, especially on the NPPC side with the Prop 12 fixes and all the stuff going on the state levels. It's just good to be, you know, you can be an advocate too. You mean, whether you're just talking to your father-in-law or your cousin or your sister and, or anybody, you know, like, hey, just put a good word off your industry and then be a little bit well-versed on what's going on. You know what I mean? So like, it'd be a matter of having a couple conversations with the right people can go a long way. You know what I mean? So just the simple industry newsletters, I try to read them as much as I can and they send them off frequently and they're easy to sign up for. Those are the ones I recommend. So,
yeah. I know the one you're talking about for NPPC. It's so nice. It's just a quick scroll, like one of the top articles of the day. And I use that one. I read it every day. It's awesome. It's a great resource.
I put a lot of work into that. So
what's your favorite stuff outside of the industry? Are you a Twitter or an X guy? Or are you a Facebook person? Or are you a LinkedIn?
You know, I like X. You know what I mean? Like, I get on Facebook. You know, it's my daughter's birthday today. She turned 6. So just like, okay, my wife posts pictures on there. It's fun stuff. You know, it's nice seeing my friends as kids and stuff like that. That's what I use that for. But X is good. Love seeing it. Good stuff on there. You know what I mean? I'm glad that that's a good, you know, our international voice to see things. And it's good to see. I'm not a very big poster or anything like that. I'll retweet something funny, you know what I mean, something good. But like, other than that, I love reading the resources. And it's even funny, the people you get connected with, and then you read them and see what's going on. It's a pretty good resource. But I definitely get a lot of my information from X for sure. So
last question, in your opinion, what sets successful professionals apart from those that are not?
I think there's a lot of things to do. Is like, I think just showing up, you know what I mean? And I think having tact too, you know what I mean? I went through Dale Carnegie 20 years ago, you know, how to win friends and influence people. And I still go back to that a lot when I talk to people. I'm just like, you know, sitting there and have a conversation and speaking to people with respect. You know what I mean? That's the main thing I've learned, what I've always done is, you know, show up, be consistent, treat people with respect. You know what I mean? Even if you don't agree with somebody, that doesn't mean you have to be enemies. You know what I mean? So just like, you know, respectfully disagree, walk away what you need to do, especially when it comes to the politics. Seems like politics is a hot button issue. Like, I just listen to the other person, agree, disagree, walk away. There's no point in getting angry. You know what I mean? Especially us pork producers. Not a lot of us. We're a small group and we got to stick together. But it's the same thing too. Treat everybody respectfully. Do so with tact. Show up, do your job. And, you know, life's going to be good. You know what I mean? So the life is not very hard. You just got to, you know, just gotta be respectful and show up and do your job. You know, I talk to people, barn owners, they're all small business owners, you know, and, you know, people are like, how do you get stuff done? I'm like, well, yeah, I answer my phone, I return messages and, you know, I show up, you know what I mean? So it's not that hard to execute. You just got to put a plan together, have things in place and communicate. And if you can't, a phone call goes a long way. It's like, I can't get there, I'm going to be late, you know, or whatever it is. Like, the little things in life really mean the most to people. You know what I mean? So, and it just takes time and respect. So it goes back to respect.
Love that for sure. I agree. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was awesome. Awesome communicating and appreciate you being on the show.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.